New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Coming to you alive through the power of the interwebs. Inside the Green Room Studio from the flagship source of the Earth Mix Garden Products Network, it's the At-Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates, bringing you all the wisdom
and wit
you'll ever need to tackle your garden and your projects. Now broadcasting live from Bates Nursery and Garden Center at 3810 Whites Creek Pike, just 1 mile north of exit 19 off Briley Parkway.
Or 0.9 miles as the Josh drives.
Here's Josh Carey and David Bates.
Oh yeah, everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb your tree, don your loincloth, and survey the backyard. Because you got to find a project, you got to lay it in the unmarked grave of history. Welcome in, everybody. It's your Saturday morning tradition. It's the At-Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates. And I am Josh Carey.
And I am David Bates.
Michael Stevenson is to my left.
Tyler Blankenship off camera because he is the camera.
He is the camera.
He is the force behind the camera who makes, if we look good, it's all credited to him. If we look bad,
it's all on him.
So
okay.
That's the way we work.
If we sound bad, it's on me.
Yeah. If we sound bad, right. Yeah.
Well, we've done our requisite amount of show preparation.
If we act bad, it's on Josh.
I'll take that. Anyway, we have done a significant amount of show prep for this morning.
Yes, we're going to have a special guest here at the bottom of the hour. Yes, we're going to have
the middle of the hour.
Well, the bottom.
It's the bottom of the hour.
The bottom of the hour.
Is it?
You don't call it the middle of the hour.
It's hours are in a circular.
Right. And
the bottom is the 30.
The six is down on.
So you're at 180.
Exactly.
At the 180?
Yeah.
So, okay. For instance, think of it like this: when you're from a military background,
see,
watch your six; it's behind you.
No, your six is behind you, but the 180 wouldn't be behind you.
David gets what I'm saying,
huh?
It's just,
the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, is the bottom of the hour.
Caroline Gant, mm-hmm. or Carrie, as she's known around here. She's going to be talking to us about some tropicals and things coming up for holiday seasonal. We know we've already got some poinsettias in and that kind of thing. So look forward to hearing what Carrie's got to share with us.
Yeah, it's going
to
be an interesting kind of weather day today, Dave.
Yes, it is. And today is a Saturday, of course. We'll be partly sunny to mostly cloudy, depending on how you want to view the glass, half full or empty. Regardless, currently it is mostly cloudy, I would say. But it's going to be pleasant. A high of about 70 degrees, maybe a little bit more than that. Southeasterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight there will be a chance of showers, generally before 3 a.m. And then the showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm. Low of about 56 degrees. Winds out of the southeast, 15 to 20 miles an hour, becoming westerly after midnight. And there could be some gusts as high as 35 miles an hour.
Oh boy.
Over a short period of time there. So be mindful of that. On Sunday, 20% chance of showers, but that's going to be early. It's going to be cloudy through mid-morning, and then it's going to be clearing through the afternoon, a little cooler on Sunday, high in the lower 60s. West winds 10 to 15 miles an hour, so it will be a little chilly. So windbreakers will be
necessary.
There will be, yeah, it'll be good equipment to have on.
An additional layer.
Especially when you have gust of wind up near 20 miles an hour, that will be chilly. But as you look for the week ahead, you can see there's a lot of sunshine in the forecast and seasonably mild temperatures. Highs generally in the low 60s to upper.
That was my fault that time.
I knew who it was. I saw you messing with it. Lower 60s to upper 50s through the week, and lows in the mid to lower 30s to near 40 degrees throughout the week, and perhaps a chance of showers again by next weekend. So anyway, it's a lovely day here. Bates Nursery, 42 degrees currently in the Music City.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there watching us on the Facebooks, we're glad you're there. Comment, join us, like the page, go out, share it if you would, start a watch party. Go out to that watch. Now, we have multiple feeds. I want to tell you this because you noticed that I wasn't really paying attention to the weather.
I generally have that.
Okay. But we have when we go out live, it goes out to multiple places and multiple people share it. So we're trying to watch all the messages that come in and all the comments. So
Josh kind of is in charge of that.
And it's confusing. I can tell you that when you get multiple
Out to, like you said, multiple Facebook pages. It also goes out to the Bates Nursery Twitter page as well. And it also goes out to our YouTube feed.
Yes.
And if that's your preferred connection, ask you to subscribe and you'll get the little notification that says, hey, we're on the air.
It's really cool to do that because you can put it up on your TV in the living room or the bedroom.
That's how my little boy watches this.
Is it really?
On the TV, yeah.
Is that how he goes to sleep every night?
No, actually.
This is after Jack Reacher.
Yeah, after Jack
Reacher. Okay. All right. At 615-499-6690. That is how you interact with us. You can call. You go to voicemail. Michael will take a look at it. If you request that we call you back, he'll do that. And you can interact live. And the reason I bring that up is that's the way you communicate with us if you don't comment on the Facebook page. But if we don't get to it right away, it's because we've got multiple pages going on. And again,
we're still trying to learn how to walk and chew gum at the same time.
And eat gummy bears. I mean, you've got multiple pages and you've got multiple feeds, and Facebook does weird stuff when you're looking at different things in different places. It's different on your phone than it is on your iPad, than it is on your laptop.
The nature of social media is that it's forever changing. As soon as you get it figured out, it's all
you gotta
different.
Do an update and let it go on.
Now the thing that's most curious to me that Facebook does is for 48 hours they'll let you go back to the classic version
of Facebook.
Of what benefit is that? Is that just to say, we know you used to like it the way it was, and for 48 hours we're going
to
let you
go
back?
May be what we have to do to get those two messages that are there that we cannot see. They're not in the unread mail and anywhere else that we've looked for.
If by chance you have tried to message us and we haven't responded, we do have a couple sitting out there that we cannot find them. So message us again, and we'll see if that gets through, and we'll be glad to talk to you about whatever's going on around your home, be it in the landscape, be it around the house. Maybe there's some winterization projects that you've got.
Marital advice,
That's probably our strength is marital advice.
Well, we all know what the most two most important words are in the English language, right?
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear. Okay.
615. Make me a sandwich. That's three, but
make me a sandwich.
That's four.
That's four.
Yeah. Oh, whatever.
I thought you taught. Sam how to count by how many people got killed on Jack Reacher.
Sam learned how to count. It was Michael that didn't learn.
Sam was teaching me. Actually, speaking of TV, real quick, I saw a documentary. I watched part of it yesterday. It made me think of you, Dave. It was on the Apple TV Plus. It's called Fireball, and it's got Werner Herzog, and they're talking about all the meteorites that have hit. It was really interesting.
Yeah, I have enjoyed. I've actually seen a number of the Leonids, which are currently we're passing through the tail of, what's the name of the comet? I can't think of it, but anyway,
Hale-Bopp.
It's not Hale-Bopp. Mm. We won't ever pass through that one again.
It's gone.
It's out of here. I mean, we won't. It will be back around at some point.
80,000 years.
Yeah.
We'll still be on.
It's going to be a minute. But the Leonids have been spectacular, and they're vivid, what I would call an aqua blue, they're very distinctively colored.
Well, about a week ago, I was driving down from Greenbrier into Nashville, and I saw one of those come down. It wasn't just like a far-off one. It looked like a fireball in the sky. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, it is amazing. And it's like,
I wonder what chemical compound or metal would cause them to appear to be in the aqua shade.
I don't know. I know that if you...
It's how hot it's burning, right? That's the color?
Yeah, it's more likely it has to do with the it may have burning. Like some kind of copper compound in there, because copper it frequently has a greenish blue tint to it, and I'm just, or maybe it could be cobalt, I don't know, those are strictly guesses. I bet you there's somebody out there that knows the answer to that question.
It's 615-499-6690 if you want to join and tell us what that might be. Now, we were talking about messages and comments on the Facebook page. We did have one this week, and it brought to mind an old friend of the At Home Show. And
how old are they?
We did never ask Miss J how old she was. Oh, that would have been very impolite for us to ask a lady how old she was.
That's true. I didn't know who you were talking about.
But since we are no longer broadcasting from a fishbowl, we don't have a way that will allow Miss J, because she was one of the biggest fans of WSM and great, and she used to listen to us every Saturday morning. She used to listen to us back in the old days at that other station, WTN, and she called us every couple of weeks and brought us up to speed on things that were Nashville historic related.
She was an absolute joy, the resident historian for the At Home Show. She could bring out some stories about Old Central High School, Cascade Plunge down at the fairgrounds, and a lot of
trolley cars, everything.
Interesting tidbits.
But we haven't since she was never on social media, and that's the way we do things these days. Miss J, she just didn't do it, and I don't blame her sometimes. I mean, she's probably in many ways, she was probably happier, but we don't have a way to reach her because when we got in, nobody has the phone number that we had, because we did speak to her because we had invited her to last year's holiday edition of the At Home Show.
In our haste to get out of the studio before we left coronavirus in there, we somehow misplaced her number.
There was a piece of paper that had her address on it, but we don't have a way to contact her. So if you as the rest of the At Homies, if you know who Miss J, reach out to her for us, and please pass on the phone number, 615-499-6690.
And it could be that someone over at WSM actually has that information.
It could be. And if you wanted to call them, the WSM studios over there near the hotel, maybe you can get a message to them to put out an all-points bulletin on the air, because she absolutely was one of the biggest fans that they ever had, and I'm sure she listens. She turns it, and she told us one time, she turns it on when she gets up and she turns it off when she goes to bed. So that's how. But we miss you, Miss J. If you do happen to see this, if somebody has it out there, we miss you, and we want you to call us, and hopefully we can call and get her in here.
She's probably listens to the podcast.
Yeah
uh-huh, for sure.
But 615-499-6690. Now, if we got some people out there, just call the station, see what they, see if they've got anything ready to roll for us.
We do have a voicemail from C.B. Monroe.
C.B.?
C.B. At least I'm assuming that's how Google translated his name correctly. Okay. We never know.
This is C.B. Monroe. I'm calling with a question about Asian jumping worms, also known as Alabama red wigglers. I didn't realize what they were, and I've recently been reading about the damage they cause to the soil structure and subsequently plant roots and trees and things. I received a bunch of them with some bulk soil I ordered a few years ago. Didn't know what they were, just noticed they flopped around like snakes. And now I don't know how to get rid of them. Or, if this is, I have to give up gardening now or what to do. The internet's not a lot of help. I've left messages for the extension agent and hadn't heard anything. I've read that you're supposed to tell the extension agent that you have them. I just wondered if y'all had any input in what to do with the dirt that already has them in it, how to be sure new dirt that you get doesn't have them in it, what you can do to take care of your plants until you get rid of all of them. Just anything you can tell me would be wonderful. Thank you very much.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, and unfortunately it's kind of smart alecky, is that you need to get some Ferengi from Star Trek to come down, because they really like those worms. They like them in the raw state as well.
Yeah, I think that's more than kind of smart alecky. I think that's full out.
and unrealistic.
Yes, and I am directly to her point. I'm unfamiliar with issues associated with that. Unfortunately, your timing is just a week off because we had Dr. Alan Windham on here last week, who could have. I've certainly given us full information about them. Perhaps he's listening this morning and he can put out a message out there. Who knows? But I do not know that information. I have never encountered that. And there's a book written of all the things I don't know. There's probably like several volumes of
the
those
Encyclopedia
books.
Britannica, yes. Somewhere.
Yes. And I can't tell you the answer. Maybe we'll have a chance here in a moment to give it a look and get you some information, CB. So sorry I can't be more instantly.
They sound like a real piece of work.
Well,
worms that flop around like snakes, that's a big worm.
Well, and there are several of the invasive species that are out there, so that would be the place that I would go, because there are some that you can cut them in half and they make 14 more worms, and then there are other kinds of pests and creatures that go along with it. But the first thing that I came upon on the internet, which is in Alabama, says that it is a tropical and it may or may not survive in the cold weather portions of
Well, she got it a few years ago, though.
Oh.
Is what she said in her message.
Alabama jumpers is what the first thing that I came upon.
They're not, they're very commonly used in vermiculture.
Vermiculture.
Like vermiculite?
No, vermiculture is
a composting process.
Yeah. For making earthworm castings.
Gotcha. Kind of
so
I've learned something new.
So I had not heard that
what the
downside, you know, in the colder climates, that would be north of here, like in the Great Lakes area, they don't survive the winters there. But what I see of them talks favorably about them, but it may be that we're talking about two different things. And, you know, they are, I don't think that they are a native worm, but I have never known them to, although I don't see these jumping worms. I don't, you know, I've seen some worms that look a little more active than others, but mostly they're just kind of
only after the rain.
They're very active after the rain. So anyway, we're going to have to try to find some information out on that. Maybe we can get you a better answer. Can't tell you anything. It's all speculation at this point. So 615-499-6690. Give us a call. Maybe we'll have an answer.
But the Ferengi, I'm telling you, if we can get the Ferengi here, because the Ferengi were here, during the 50s. I mean, that was, you know, when Roswell, that was actually the Ferengi.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, if you not watched, come on,
I
man.
I did not know that.
615-499-6690. David, could you go to input number two? If you would, please. I have something that we need to discuss, and this is a behavioral issue that we might need to address. This visual evidence, ladies and gentlemen, was there a crime perpetrated here, or were you just thinking?
Just thinking about taking a leak. I never took a leak.
I don't think you would have been all that subtle taking it in that vest.
It might have stuck out a little bit.
Now, what were you going to take that leak? Where were you going to take that leak?
Well, wherever I was shopping.
Oh.
Wherever that was, you know.
You weren't in a corner, at least.
No. Wasn't the corner. And, you know, I had washed my hands, obviously.
Beforehand?
And after.
Oh, okay.
Whenever you're thinking about taking a leak, you need, you know,
good hygiene.
The hygiene of your hands is important. You know, we've learned nothing else this last year.
The essence of the at-home show, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we're about.
So we're in Whole Foods.
Whole Foods.
This is from 2013.
I remember.
And I see them, and I hand my phone to Renee. I said, take my picture when I say take it. So she says, what? I said, please do this. So she took the picture, and so because I had this moment of inspiration. So there I was thinking about taking a leak. So, but you know, surprisingly, I don't remember it getting a whole lot of attention
Then,
but I put it back out.
You shared it as a memory.
I shared it as a memory, and I've gotten a huge number of responses out of it, and people have shared it out. I've got friends that it's making the circuit around Mexico currently. So anyway.
Yard Boy's hosting a watch party for us.
Yes, he is. 615-499-6.
Is it a wristwatch party, or is it just a regular watch party?
Knowing him, it's probably just a party of one because he's hanging out on a mower.
Well, how can he be watching and hanging out on a mower?
Just duct tape an iPad to your, you know, apparatus, your chassis, whatever you call that stuff on mowers.
The deck.
Nah, I think it'd probably be kind of dangerous to stick it down by the deck, get caught up in the belts.
Well, that's on top of the deck. Wouldn't it be? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, thanks. Hey, let's talk for just a moment.
Okay, talk about
Earthmix Garden Products. And Earthmix Garden Products is one of the things that we are proud to sell here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. And also, it's sold at a great many locations all over Middle Tennessee, Kentucky, even up into Indiana and Ohio. If you want to find out, you know, where all those places are, click on the Find Earthmix tab. And once you get there at earthmix.net, you can scroll in and see all of the different places. You can either type your address in, and it'll give you turn-by-turn directions to the location nearest you. And I see my screen has gone off because I didn't do this. That will make the video more impactful when you can actually see it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There we are. And thank you, Tyler, for giving me the hand signal there.
I have fingers.
There you go. So anyway, so
more than one.
Go to earthmix.net and click on Find Earthmix, and that will take you to this page. And you can go up to see up in Bloomington Valley Nursery up in Bloomington, Indiana. You can view their website, all that there, and there's a complete list of all the vendors down the screen there, and you can click on their individual sites to go to that. But what makes Earthmix Garden Products unique is that it is 100% sustainably produced and organically produced right here in Nashville, Tennessee. But more than that, it's highly productive. You're going to get growing results out of that. And you won't even need fertilizer for at least the first 6 weeks once you've used it. So use that product. I think you'll be, no matter which one you choose, whether it's Viragra, the earthworm castings, whether it's Proganics I or O, or Landscape, which is a product which is used widely this time of year, or the flagship a product put out, Earthmix Garden. No matter which you choose, you're going to get great results out of it. So check that out at earthmix.net. Remember, this success in gardening begins at the ground level when you use Earthmix Garden Products.
So 615-499-6690.
And we're going to be joined here just in a few minutes by Caroline Gantt. She's going to be talking to us about tropicals. And, you know, they're all the rage. All of a sudden, people have become all about tropical plants. So we're looking forward to talking to Carrie about that and getting her take on it, because she deals with them every day. And she is an enthusiastic individual about everything.
Perky.
She's enthusiastic. And so, you know, we always appreciate having her as a part of our team here at Bates Nursery. Now, there's a lot of people who are out and about now, who are, you know, we've got a lot of conflicting things going on as far as, you know, what do you do for Thanksgiving? How are you going to deal with family or friends? And, you know, it's just a lot of uncertainty with regard to, you losing an input there, Michael?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's just messing with the buttons.
He's just freaking me out.
Whenever we see Carrie, I'm making sure it was all good.
Okay, good. Anyway, there's a lot of consternation about, you know, what is a safe number of people to have at home, and do you do it beyond your immediate family? And what if you have a really large immediate family? And, you know, so there's just all manner of different concerns.
Uh-huh. They're going to be deviled eggs?
I don't think a lot of people. We have met some resistance, and I always call them deviled eggs.
Uh-huh.
But others call them other things. What are some of the other names for them? There was like, I don't know.
Doesn't matter what anybody.
I've always called them devil dicks because I grew up in the South.
There was somebody that said no, that there was that took exception to them being.
I don't
called
care how many people are there as long as I've got deviled eggs.
So you'll be fine.
I'll be okay.
Got deviled eggs. Wasn't it this time last year that your family didn't want you to have deviled eggs?
No, there was an original person who was the project manager at certain projects at the proving grounds that decided that deviled eggs were not going to be on the menu.
Was this because you got her a bunch of fertilizer for her birthday?
No. How do you assign this duty to that person that actually got a gift of the fertilizer of the month club? I mean, it doesn't automatically everything that goes down there.
By the way, Michael, you may want to switch your camera on your to the.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm seeing.
No,
you
can actually see him.
I'm seeing. Well,
seeing
I mean,
me. This so is that, like right
well,
in the face.
I mean, Carrie's only going to be able to see him as he's currently got it.
That's all she needs to see.
Yeah. Right.
No, they. It was. It was decided that the menu was going to be slightly varied last year from the norm, and deviled eggs were going to be cycled through, and we're not going to be on the menu. And I pitched a fit. I'll just come right out and tell you. I mean,
was it a full-out hissy fit, or was it?
It was conniption.
A conniption fit.
A hissy. A I mean, a conniption
oh, my
fit.
My word.
But in the end, the new version of the deviled eggs, the Bloody Mary deviled eggs, will be making.
We got too many wires, don't we?
Too many wires. I'm going to fix it, though. It ain't
We've got we're one camera connection shy here, so.
But as long as we've got deviled eggs, everything. It doesn't, how many people are you trying to come up
number? All I'm saying is that perhaps this is a time when you can initiate some new
outdoor living.
Maybe you might want to consider planting a Thanksgiving tree or something like that, or doing some kind of more outdoorsy activity, something that, I've envisioned the use of those outdoor propane heaters like you see at restaurants being.
I saw an ad, Northern Tools got them on sale, by the way.
So, yep.
Okay. But you can have it out on the porch.
There you
can
are.
Have them in.
There you are.
We can have them. Yeah, a Thanksgiving tree would be a cool thing.
Yeah.
You could. Well, you could put the. Would that be where you put the deviled eggs underneath the Thanksgiving tree?
It depends on the level of esteem that you place on those eggs. But yes. Yeah, I would say you might be able to attach a serving bracket. Up midway up the trunk.
And would there be a preferred species of a Thanksgiving tree?
Well, I think you need to have a clear trunk. It needs to be probably a deciduous, something that drops its leaves. You don't want all these leaves falling
into the deviled eggs.
No, because the leaves should be off by that point. So you'll have the leaves off. And
a ginkgo. Let's say ginkgo.
A ginkgo might. The thing with this, ginkgos tend to drop their leaves like overnight.
Yeah, it's all
so
around.
If you. Depending on the night, it could just be disastrous. It could be wonderful, or you could just have a complete color of gold.
Now, would the turkey come? Does the turkey put the presents underneath the Thanksgiving tree, or who would put that? Would it be a pilgrim that would put the?
I would. It probably has to be a turkey. I would say so. A creature that's willing to
sacrifice itself to be eaten.
Yes, okay. Yeah. I mean, you got to pay homage to that in some level. So, I'm thinking that's the way that would be.
Now, what if you're having ham for Thanksgiving instead of turkey?
Well, then of course the pig.
The pig would have to be the one.
The pig has to do it at that point.
I think the pig would probably, because he's trying to push you towards the poultry more so than it would be than the
poultry.
There
poultry,
we go.
Yes. Okay.
All right. 615-499-6690. If you have an opinion about what would be under the deviled eggs. Oh, and Darren has suggested that we smoke the deviled eggs. And I mean, I've tried to do that.
I get so much congestion.
So hard to keep lit. I mean, I've just never been able to.
I get an unbelievable amount of congestion as a result of that.
So and Crystal said dressed eggs. Thank you.
Dressed eggs. That's the term I was looking for. That because some people, particularly if in a covered church event, a covered dish event at a church, hate the use of the word deviled. eggs. It sounds bad.
What are you supposed to call them then?
Dressed eggs.
Is that the other name we were thinking of?
Dressed eggs.
It's all gross.
But see, dressed eggs have got salad dressing in them instead of mayonnaise.
Oh. So mayonnaise is of the devil.
No.
It makes sense to me.
I mean, therefore, that's what you're saying. Therefore, but, I mean, if that is the key ingredient that is the that discerns on which side it it lies. So
dressed eggs are devil. Like dressed eggs are more modest. They're just, you know, deviled eggs, just like here, have this crap that's awful dressed for in? You. Well, whatever it is, it ain't. I don't know. I don't eat either one of them because I'm not. You know, I got good taste in food.
Okay.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Let's. Our guest is online here. Let's go ahead and make this formal invitation. We're really thrilled to have our very own Carrie Gant, Caroline Gant, Bates Nursery.
Good morning.
Good morning, Caroline. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We know that coming up this coming Friday that you and your tropical twin, Vanessa, are going to be doing a base botanical boot camp on houseplants. And you're going to be talking about all of those. So that comes up at what time on Friday?
That's at 10 a.m. on Friday. And so you can pre-register on our website. You can just go and register for the Zoom class and then log in and learn all about houseplant care.
You can go to BatesNursery.com, scroll down the page till you get to the banner across it where it says Bates Nursery Botanical Bootcamp, and click on there. And there's a whole calendar of all the events coming up. Yours is the next one on Friday. So what do you go, what kind of information, just to kind of tease that up a little bit, what kind of information are you hoping to impart on the viewers and listeners of that event?
Yeah, so just basic houseplant care, you know, when to water them, what kind of light they need, the best plants for certain situations. And then we'll open a Q&A at the end for people to ask questions if they're having problems with anything, or if they're just looking at a plant that they want to get and they don't know if it'll work in their environment. We can answer all those questions.
That's excellent. Now, a lot of the things that people struggle with houseplants is watering. That's one of the really big things. And too much water and lack of light are frequently the culprits. So what kind of things, what's the pointers generally you're going to try to give someone with regard to how to figure out what they need to be selecting to begin with? Because a lot of times they may like something and they frankly don't have enough light to be able to grow it.
Right. So when it comes to watering, I say overwatering is the biggest, the most problematic thing with houseplants, especially people who are new to houseplants.
They want to take good care of them, so they a little more water, right?
That's right. They want to love them a little too much. So sometimes they just give them a little too much love and water. So I would suggest always going under what you think it would be. Usually the plant will let you know if it needs water. And then you can get into
leaves
that
get a little droopy
of water.
Or
Josh, they get sad. They get really sad.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. but that indication, like you're saying, you will see on particularly things like white flag, you know, the spathiphyllum that will visibly droop. The turgor pressure will drop, and consequently, mm-hmm. they will wilt. So, you know, you water them, they'll stand right back up. So they're one of those plants that's really good for a lot of folks, simply because they tell you when they need water, and they also are pretty adept at handling lower light conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are great beginner plants. Again, like you were saying, they let you know when they need water. They're great in low light. Sansevieria, the mother-in-law tongue, or snake plant, is also mm-hmm. a good beginner plant. That
mother-in-law tongue.
Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of different names.
So why don't you show us those? I'll see you're not far from where those are.
I'm gonna walk you on over. Are you guys ready?
We are ready.
All right, we're gonna turn you around. Here we are. Yeah, we have so many. We've got some minis over here. And again, these are great plants for beginners. These guys hate water. I haven't actually watered mine in 2 months, and it's doing great.
Oh my goodness!
And what kind of light requirements are you recommending for folks who have those?
So these are low light. They don't like any direct light. They can be in a room with a window that gets brighter light, but you can keep it in a corner so it doesn't get hit with any rays or anything directly. Mine's actually sitting in a hallway. It's got window light from the end, but it's pretty dark in there, and it's doing great.
All right, so I see you're walking past some succulents and all there. Why don't you give us a little look at what all we've got there?
Give you a little tour.
Look at that little baby.
Cacti and succulents have really been popular this year, and there's a lot of folks having interest in those. But you do have to have a bright, sunny window to be able to have success with those.
Correct. Yeah, they need a lot of light and very, very little water.
Now, Carrie, they do well in a terrarium, don't they?
Some of them do.
Okay.
Yeah. The lower growing ones, the ones that grow a little bit slower, they'll do well.
The problem with the terrarium, though, is that it's very easy to overwater, particularly if you have one of those enclosed.
Maybe I used the wrong word. The little hangers, the little glass globes with the hole in the front. I call it a terrarium, I guess.
Yeah. No, you're right. We have some. We're going to take you on a walk to go find those.
Because it's a great Christmas gift, by the way.
It is.
This little exercise today is not just to show all the plants, it's to...
We're doing some testing.
We're getting Carrie steps in for her this morning so she can walk back and forth throughout the area.
That's right. I'm getting nice and warm.
There you go.
So here's what you were talking about right here. Yeah.
Now hang that on the Christmas tree.
This one looks a little bit sad. It's our last one. Oh, it would be a great Christmas ornament. You're right about that.
Okay. Yeah.
But those, again, you can overwater them really easily because they don't have drain holes. So you got to be careful.
Okay. So we're approaching the holiday season. And, you know, so not only are...
Have you got any of the Thanksgiving trees that Carrie can show us?
Well, that's a little far away from where she is currently. We're going to get out there, but look at what we already have a nice selection of florist quality poinsettias there. Wow. And, you know, they have a great selection of those that have the bicolor leaves, or bracts, I should say. Those are the bracts, or what people would call the blooms, are not actually the bloom.
I love that candy too, by the way.
The bloom is the little part down in the very center of the bracts are actually a modified leaf.
Now, can you get the ones that do they grow the ones with the glitter? Can you get those?
No, they just the glitter, you can't. Those are applied after the fact.
Oh, okay.
They don't have a glitter growth habit. Of course, some Christmas cactus you see there, which wait a minute.
Gorgeous.
This is not even Thanksgiving yet. Well, it's just called. They're actually...
They don't tell time
very
well.
They are actually technically known as a zygote cactus, which one of the more common cultivars is
rosemary
known as...
Trees.
It's known as Kris Kringle. Yes, rosemaries are beautiful and very fragrant.
And you can put them in the turkey.
If you like, absolutely.
Oh, it's wonderful under the skin of the turkey.
See, you've got some, one of those, I can't quite see, you were a little quick on your pan right there. But
oh, are we going fast? So we've got some mini pineapples over here.
Look at that. Aren't those cute?
Be a perfect Christmas gift for anyone, really. They are a little bit sharp, so.
Now, they're going to be highlight. Yeah. It's going to be a highlight house.
They're going to be highlight, correct. Yep.
Now, Willis.
You're learning about house plants already.
Now, would that fruit ever become edible?
No, it's an ornamental.
Okay.
It stays a little smaller. They will get a little bit bigger than this. I'll put my hand in so you can kind of see a scale. I mean, you could probably try it, but it's not going to be good.
They're only good if you have a very small appetite.
Right, I got you.
That's okay. Right, a wee little tiny appetite.
A shot glass with a palm or something inside it.
Right.
Okay.
There
okay.
you go.
I got you.
Okay, so we've seen the poinsettias there, Christmas cactus, all the other seasonal things. Notice we had a nice display out front.
Yes, we do. Let's go on another little walk.
So she's going to walk through the checkout area and go out to the front. And we've got she's encountering her coworkers there. So you can see she's always happy to be at work. There they are gathering around. And look at that. A Christmas tree of Christmas trees.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? And those are all dwarf Alberta spruce of various sizes and really decorated nicely. That's right out front. This is intended to be shopped out of, correct? If somebody wants to buy one of those, well, they can just grab it and go with it.
You can't do that at the Opryland Hotel.
Get it right out of there, yeah. We can get you whatever you like.
So it's we're beginning to make that transitional change at Bates Nursery. Now, we don't sell living, we don't sell live trees. And let's make a distinction for just a moment so people understand the difference between a living tree and a live tree. A living tree is a tree that either has a ball on it, either container grown, or it's been dug out of the field.
Correct.
A live tree is one that's been cut, which is not going to continue to live. So we don't sell live or cut trees.
You don't have the plastic ones either.
Don't have those either. But it's this is the year, and Carrie, I'm interested to know what your take on this is. I think this is the year where a lot of people are going to get a living tree, but never take it inside. Decorate it out on the patio or on the deck area. And that way you can leave it up from now all the way through till New Year's, if you like, and not have to worry about it.
Everybody keep the label. Keep the card that comes with the tree that you get, because you need to look at that maximum size that rascal's going to get, because you will be surprised in about 10 or 12 years about how that nice little corner feature isn't going to be fitting in the corner anymore.
Well, that's one good thing.
Yeah, they will get big.
The one thing about those dwarf Alberta spruce is that they are pretty dwarf. You know, they won't get much more than about 6-7 feet tall. Okay. So if you had an area that you need something to stay confined within, they will do that. So, okay, what else you want to show us, Carrie?
Ooh, what don't I want to show you? There's so many exciting things in here. But let's take a look at these orchids that we've been getting in. Now, these would make a great gift. If you're starting to think about shopping now, you know, we've got some that aren't open yet. Some more rare ones. We've been getting them in about once a month. So we should have more closer to the holidays.
Wow.
Yeah, look What's at that, that gorgeous little guy.
What is she called or he called?
So that's an Oncidium. And here's the tag if you want to take a look. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
And we have a couple different varieties. We had some really cool spider orchids, but those sold out in a day. So you do have to get here fast to get the good stuff.
Well, you know, it's all good stuff.
It's all great stuff.
But that's true. It's all fantastic.
But
you're right.
But you know, that's the reason why that
unusual stuff.
So many of the people.
The unusual things.
So many of our. Our wonderful employees at Bates Nursery have this incredible collection of unique things at their homes because they happen to be there when the trucks are being unloaded, and they get those first dibs. Those are nice little pitcher plants there.
We get to see them first, yeah.
So when you have the flies outside for your dinner, the pitcher plant will be right there.
To attract them right in, and it's a one-way street.
It'll take care of them for you. So we do have a nice selection of those as well. So that's a pretty pretty nice spot there. Good gift giving ideas and pretty little plants.
So no matter what you're looking for, tropicals, whatever, we've got it over at Bates Nursery. And you can see Caroline or any of the great staff over there. And give us one more little talk about your Bates Nursery Botanical Boot Camp coming up on this coming Friday.
Correct. Friday the 20th, 10 a.m., Houseplants 101 with Vanessa and I. Again, we'll just be discussing things you need to know about your houseplants, just basic care, how to buy, what to look for, lighting requirements, watering requirements.
The tropical twins is what I refer to them as. So
that's right.
You ladies always do a wonderful job. We want to thank you for coming on.
Carrie, will you pick me out a pretty one of those pitcher plants and take it on up to the front?
Absolutely.
I would like to take one home.
Yeah, he'll check it out here in a few minutes.
I'll get you.
Anyway, so thank you, Carrie. And come on out and see Carrie today and the whole group here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. We appreciate her being on this morning.
Absolutely.
Taking the time to show us around what's all inside.
Because you never get to see all the stuff. You'd have to take hours to go through this place, David Benson.
Well, it just take a little time. It just take a little time. But we're here to help you get all that figured out and see what it is that you want to see. And while we're on the subject of that, we'll just quickly go to that and talk about Bates Nursery and Garden Center. You just got a little tour of our greenhouse area that Carrie was nice enough to show us there. This picture here on the website, BatesNursery.com, is down in our perennial area. We've got a lot of things to choose from. If you're a Bates Rewards member, you already know This is our tremendous month sale going on. And for base rewards members, all deciduous trees, excluding Japanese maples. Now, deciduous trees, so you understand, are the ones that drop their leaves.
They decided to do that.
Yes. They drop their leaves. All deciduous trees are 25% off.
Except for the Japanese maples.
Except for Japanese maples. But other than that, any tree that is deciduous, 25% off, come check them out. We have a tremendous selection, and we're moving through a lot of them, so don't delay. If you want your best selection, of course, come on out. See us at Bates Nursery and Garden Center, where if you've got a picture of your place that you're wanting to try to plant and you want some suggestions, we'll be glad to help. Take those pictures and bring them with you on your smartphone or tablet.
Uh-huh.
Our landscape professionals will look at those, and we just will help you give you some the best options that and recommendations, and you can choose from that. And that way, you know, you're going to get the right tree in the right place the first time. That's the way we do it at Bates Nursery and Garden Center, where we are conveniently located 1 mile north of Briley Parkway at exit 19 on White's Creek Pike. It's just minutes from Rivergate, Opry Mills, Nashville West, downtown Nashville. And I promise you, it's worth the drive no matter where you're coming from. We're open from 9 until 4 p.m. Monday through Saturday, noon until 4 on Sunday, Bates Nursery and Garden Center, beautifying Nashville since 1932. We appreciate you taking a moment. Let us talk about that.
Joyce had a question, and Carrie's already stepped away, but how is there anything in particular that you need to do to take care of a Christmas cactus? I mean, she kind of hit on all the highlights. Don't too much water, lots of light, right?
They tend to like bright conditions, and they like even moisture on the dry side. So, you know, if you keep them soggy, wet all the time, they're just going to rot and the flowers will just fall off of them. Mm-hmm. But the key with anything that's a cacti or succulent is light. They're not a low light type of plant, so they need a sunny, bright window. And if you will do that and allow them to dry evenly before you are watering, you're going to have a whole lot better chance of success with them. So it's just really important to make sure that you get your watering habits under control and don't overdo. She did mention that, you know, a lot of people who don't have success with various houseplants, it's more often than not the result of overwatering. And when we say overwatering, what that really means is you water too frequently.
Uh-huh.
You know, people tend to overwater indoor plants and underwater outdoor plants because you're inside the house and you're looking at it and you go, oh, is there something I can do? You know, and you feel like, well, I'll just water it.
How critical is the size of the pot that these rascals are in?
Well, it's critical in that if you have bought a smaller plant and you've bought a larger container and you've transplanted it to a larger size pot with additional soil, that is going to increase the likelihood that you're going to keep it too wet because you've got a larger root ball there to draw moisture from. So you've got to be even more mindful if you have done that to allow for more time to pass to allow it to drain and dry out properly.
Okay. Now, and when you come in, and I noticed in Carrie's succulent section, those are the little bitty, teeny tiny pots.
There's a lot of really small ones, but those are, you know, that makes them much easier to care for.
Well, you kind of just leave them in.
Yeah, now they're still sticky.
They're still sticky.
Yes, you know, you have to handle with care, but the cacti and succulents are really have been one of the most popular items, and we continue to have a lot of interest, especially with the kids love the little containers and little pots, even if they do stick you a little bit. You just got to be careful with them.
So it's like the Bates version of a kiddie meal.
It's kind of like that, yeah.
But you wouldn't want, you can't eat that little pineapple.
You, well, I
a little fruity drink, I mean, like you'd have to, it'd be like a, like for a.
There's nothing that would inherently keep them from being able to be eaten. They might not be the most delicious thing in the world, but. You know, it takes pineapples quite a long time to...
Has David Bates ever told you his story about a pineapple that became missing?
I think I remember. Didn't you steal some pineapples in Hawaii or something?
No. I was growing them. I was growing them here at the nursery. And it takes, you know, from start about 18 months.
Dum, dum, dum.
When you cut the top off of a pineapple and allow it to dry, you can plant that. And you can grow another pineapple from that.
Mm-hmm.
in about a year and a half. And I got about a year and 3 weeks into it, and or maybe 2 weeks, and somebody stole my pineapple. I mean, they cut it while it was still green.
Oh, man.
And then I'm sure they cut it up and go, oh, this is bad. And now I have been nurturing this thing for you.
Loving this. Loving this pineapple.
So, you know, did it have a name? Was it Willie?
There was names that whoever was the culprit that stole it was called. They might not have heard it, but yes, it was a still a point of contention all these years later. You know,
maybe that could be the Thanksgiving tree.
You just pineapple?
A pineapple? Because you know, again, you
really got to plan ahead.
Well,
I mean,
it would be perennial, wouldn't it?
Well,
if it takes a year and a half, it would actually be.
Yeah, but you have to replant.
Wouldn't it be every other year you could use it?
Every year and a half.
Yeah. So essentially every other year.
Yeah. Twice every 3 years.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by this Thanksgiving tree idea, though.
Anyway, but you know, it gives you something, some other approach. You know, we've all adapted to a whole lot of different things, but I really think that either a Thanksgiving tree or having a living tree, but don't bring it in the house. Have it outside. If you're intent on having more people show up, if you can do it outside where you reduce the risk, you know, put some of those little heaters like we talked about, those little propane heaters about where that you can kind of warm the air, and it's as long as it's not really windy, that works pretty well.
And you sit right underneath them too. You have to be close.
You have to be right at
them. Or a canopy over the top, but you do not want to burn those inside ever.
No. And you want to be careful if it is one of those sunflower type heaters, which direction you've got it pointed and how close to a combustible surface it is, because they are they really will warm a surface.
And the smell of a torpedo heater at Thanksgiving would be just so. Oh, yeah. I mean, just imagine that. Cranberry sauce and kerosene.
Yeah, buddy. Boy, that brings back memories, doesn't it?
on a different note, I was informed by the yard boy that he now has Zoom.
Uh-oh. I also have it upon good authority that the bacon supply might be available should you go out to ineedbacon.com, but I would go quickly if I were you. But he has Zoom capability.
That's what he just texted me a little bit ago.
We need to get him on here. Of course,
we have to have a meeting for that. So I mean, schedule him. So we'd have to go through our people to get to his people.
Well, there's a lot of layers of bureaucracy.
I basically said probably next week.
Yeah. Probably. By the way, I'm also in talks with my dear friend, and will soon be yours, Nicholas Stadden, who is a horticulturalist supreme out in California. And Nicholas and I have known each other for a lot of years. He's a great fun. He's a British lad, and
he's from Mother Country.
He is a thoroughly interesting guy who's done a lot of.
What do they call deviled eggs in England?
I have no idea. We can ask Nicholas when he.
I'm sure it would have some sort of, you know, blood sausage derivation.
I'm sure there's some other term for it, but I don't know what.
The Queen's egg?
Could be the Queen's egg. Her Majesty's.
Dressed eggs.
Dressed eggs, possibly.
English eggs.
Well, you know what
they eat the quail eggs over there. They're about that big.
You know what they call English ivy in England?
Ivy,
yeah, they just call it ivy.
615-499-6690.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the things we've got around behind us.
Let's take the tour in the green
room. Directly behind you, Josh, is a solid green holly. Not the variegated. That one's called Castle Wall. That's a blue holly. It is a pollinator. So if you have blue hollies or of a type of plants that are referred to as monoecious, which means
do not use that kind of language.
And what that means is that where a great many plants have the ability to produce their own fruit pollination, and or also known as dioecious, those plants have both. That is the pollinator that's required so that the female blue hollies get berries on them.
Okay.
I'm not sure what kind of juniper, what kind of. We got there, Josh. A little blue head.
Gray owl.
Gray owl is a wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it's tends to have a more spreading growth habit. Does it get exceedingly tall, and it has that lovely blue-gray cast to it. You've got a variegated English holly right there behind you. They can.
What would they call that in England?
Just a variegated holly.
Holly? Okay, okay.
Those are not, although occasionally you'll see a berry on those. They're mostly for their beautiful foliage. Takes quite a lot of trimming to keep those nice and thick, so whatever berries you might get tend to get clipped off.
Spiky, but not too bad either.
And we've got a cryptomeria here, an upright grower. You've got one that's a little, what's the name on that one?
Japanese cedar.
Yep, that's a plume cryptomeria. Japanese cedar.
What would they call that in Japan, David?
They just call it a cedar.
Okay.
Everything comes from somewhere, and we're a bad for adding names.
I get two more before I stop. Okay. All right.
I'm gonna try to see what other countries we have. Spruce.
Hell, what would they call those?
Boars. Boars, yes.
Okay.
And one of course. More. I don't know if you can come up with anything on that or not, but
that's kind of pompous looking.
Yeah, could be a little bit. So anyway,
your shirt.
Yes, it does actually.
And his attitude in general.
Yeah.
So 615-499-6690. Had a brain freeze there for just a moment.
What are those? I don't know what they're called. Is why I'm asking you. But apparently in Japan,
describe it with
They grow just right there around Mount Fuji. There's these tiny little, they almost look like they're dead, but they're not. They could be hundreds of years old. Some kind of particular plant that just grows right there. I just thought of it because we were talking about these Japanese cedars.
You got me on that one. I don't know. I mean, I might well know if I was looking at it, but I haven't noticed anything that just grows around the base of Mount Fuji. I don't know.
I'm going to use my Google degree.
It would be a Zama type of thing. I mean, you know. Cause
Possibly. Very possibly. There's a lot of interesting plants come from a lot of interesting places. There's a province in China where a great many of the more interesting plants are coming out of, because and they seem to grow natively nowhere else in the world. So there's a lot of different things coming out of there. Also, you know, New Zealand also produces a lot, as does Tasmania. You know, some really unique species that are found in those areas. And then there are other things. Many of the, you know, we have camellias that are plenty hardy in this day and time. And the reason is because there were some that were found at elevation in Korea.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's how they developed this line or lines now of hardy camellias. So what we have now are not the Camellia japonica like you see further south. They are hybridized varieties that are either bloom in the fall or in the spring. So a lot of interesting plants come about as a result of the fine horticulturalists who really scan the globe looking for new and interesting plants that have attributes that are relatable to the landscape.
I have no idea what that plant is.
Okay, well, good.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they kept you quiet for just a couple of minutes.
I've been quiet most of the whole show because he won't shut up.
It probably has something to do with Hello Kitty, though. I mean, is it a Hello Kitty plant?
What's Hello Kitty?
Oh, dear child. Oh, my goodness. Hello
Kitty. Why are you calling me the child? Are you talking about something called Hello Kitty?
Okay, you didn't have girls. You got boys.
I watched Jack Reacher.
Yeah, I know.
He learned. Yeah, yeah. He's
teach him how to count.
He's a good manly influence.
Yep. He'll do well.
I could only watch Fox and the Hound so many times, and I was like, Sam, we're watching something I want to watch.
At least move up to like Mulan. You know, go to the Disney. You know.
We watched Tarzan yesterday. I didn't realize how dark that movie was. You see Tarzan's dead parents just laying over there in the corner after getting attacked by a jaguar.
Is that the one where he's sliding on the tree with his feet and everything? Okay, yeah, that one was a good one, too.
Yeah. Was that Johnny Weissmuller in it?
No, this was the cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. The Disney Tarzan.
Oh.
Who in their lore, apparently, there's a rumor that he was the Frozen girl's brother.
Okay,
like they're all tied together.
Okay, I got nothing on that one. That's like completely.
Your Lord Greystoke was related to the lady in from Norway or wherever.
Supposedly,
we didn't make it to Frozen. Thank goodness,
It's actually not bad.
Okay. I would give a shout out to Darren Morrissey this morning. And
he uses Red Wigglers, and we're going to do some research on the Wigglers for you.
Yeah,
as well,
I'm unsure about the dangers involved with that. They've been sold as a bait for years. I can't imagine them.
They cost extra to get the Red Wigglers as opposed to regular earthworms.
I have never known there to be anything.
There is an invasive damaging. One, but alrighty, folks. That music means that we've got to get out of here because this edition of the At Home Show is finished. But next Saturday morning, we will come back and maybe we'll know about Red Wigglers.
Yeah, maybe
we will have decided what the Thanksgiving tree will be by that point.
And you never know what guests we're going to have. We are getting my list together of folks, and the great thing is,
if you want somebody, send us a message on Facebook. Reach out and let us know who you would like to see or a product or service that you'd like to get featured. But until then, hey, watch the At Home Show on YouTube. Watch it on Facebook. Watch it anywhere you want to, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. But next Saturday morning, we'll be back and we'll be alive. For the entire At Home Show team, thank you for being here, and we'll see you next week.